thank you so much. Do you realize God does dance over you like it says in Zephaniah? Today we'll be in the book of Matthew again, Matthew chapter 5. We're working through it. Hear the word of God this morning, verse 21. You've heard it said to the people long ago, don't murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. Therefore, if you offer your gift at the altar and then you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and then you will be thrown in prison. And I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the very last penny. Father, we come before you, and for these next few moments, I ask that you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds. And Lord, for these next few moments, I ask that, Lord, that the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, but Lord, that literally we would see Christ when all is said and done. Father, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would come and convince us and convict us of truth, that we would have ears to hear in a new and transforming way. And Father, we thank you for the word of God that is truth for us. It is your word to us. It challenges us and changes us. And Lord, I am claiming the promise that it would be like a sharp two-edged sword, that it would divide all of our arguments and excuses. But Lord, most of all, I ask that you would do the surgery to bring healing in us and on us, that we would be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 5, we're working through those Beatitudes again, and for these next few weeks, we're going to be dealing with some specific issues. We're going to be talking about murder and sexual sin and divorce and speaking the truth and loving people. But one of the things that strikes me right now is that you have a choice to make before we go any farther. Will you go along with the culture? Will you go along with what everyone else says? In fact, the beginning of this passage says, you have heard it said to the people long ago. The religious leaders of the day were looking for the technical loopholes on those Ten Commandments that were given. The question was, how are you going to obey them? The question was, how far can I go? What lines can I cross before judgment or trouble comes upon me? One of the things that's interesting, every so often now, because my son's a trooper, but also because I'm a trooper chaplain, I'll get the question every so often, how fast do I get to go before I get pulled over? And I'll give you the answer. Depends on the trooper and if they need to have some tickets that day. I can tell you, don't go over the limit. You don't have to worry about that. That's literally what was going on in Jesus' day. The religious leaders of the day were trying to figure out the loopholes. In a few weeks, we're going to be talking about divorce. And it was, how can I get divorced instead of how can I bring joy to my marriage? In fact, the ceremonial observances had become far more important than the duties of actually following after God. And so often, even within the body of Christ, even within our community, is every so often you'll hear people say, well, the church is full of hypocrites or pastors are full of hypocrites. And we all know part of that is because we sometimes do have a ritual that's great and glorious and good, but we don't have a whole lot of practical follow-through. And so Jesus begins some practical follow-through. And the religious leaders of the day said, you know what, don't murder. He's talking about criminal murder here. This isn't talking about the capital punishment or war or any of those types of things. It's talking about criminal murder. And literally the religious leaders of the day would say to you and to me, you know what, as long as you don't cross that line relationally, you're okay. Just don't really kill somebody, but everything else is okay. And yet Jesus says, and you need to understand the wording here is very specific. It says in verse 21, you've heard it said to the people long ago. So literally Jesus was saying, you've heard about the traditions. You've heard what the rabbis and the religious leaders have told you about that sixth commandment. But what does it say in verse 22 if you have your Bibles with you? And I hope you just circle it for a few moments because it says, but I tell you, Literally, when everyone heard Jesus speak those words, they understood that he was saying that his word, his authority was higher than the traditions and the habits and the church practices of the day. Jesus literally says, I'm going to give you the intent of that command, and it's bigger than you think. And this is where you and I as a people need to choose what we're going to do. Because I think this time, and at this point in this message, but literally every time we open the Word of God, we have to choose, are we going to adopt the so what, never mind what Jesus says attitude, or will you adopt the attitude that he is, Christ incarnate is the God and King of kings and Lord of lords, and he literally is asking us to respond to his words so that our lives would change. And what is happening in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is literally saying, you know what? Murder is the end. That act in itself started long before the police showed up or the body was found. He says this in the Word of God. But I tell you, hear this. Anyone who is angry with his brother, and you can expand that with his sister, his friend, his spouse, his kids, his boss, his co-workers. That's a whole different stance. Sort of fills in the gap. Because I think, if you're honest, and I think even as followers of Christ, we have a tendency to sort of look at anger as something that's easily overlooked. We have a tendency to look at anger even within ourselves and say, well, you know what? It's not that bad. In fact, most of us would sort of find it acceptable to be angry at times. And anger is one of those emotions that we justify to ourselves so easily. In fact, one of the things that struck me as I was going through these scriptures and studying on them and thinking about them, because I kept thinking, okay, anger or calling your brother a fool or whatever the case may be, that seems so small compared to what goes on in our culture, doesn't it? We have taken insult to injury to a higher depth than I think I don't even know how to express it. Do you realize people are angry? I mean, one of the disturbing things about our new president is he said when they were running and getting that election is that he's a person that what? He never says he's sorry. Do you know how disturbing that is? How much pride that takes? I'm never going to say I'm sorry, which ends up, if you never are a person that says you're sorry, you're going to be angry with a lot of situations continually. And yet Jesus says, you know what? If you're angry with someone, And let me just start at the beginning, because he basically gives three different steps here. He says, when you get to the place where people are irritating you, how many of you have been irritated this week? All your hands should go up, right? Because that's the norm when we look at our spouse, when we look at our kids, when people don't drive fast enough. Have you ever noticed, and Dan and Shanine, I don't mean to pick on you, but people from Ohio, oh my goodness, they drive like something's wrong. I mean, you get behind. I mean, in New Jersey, we don't use blinkers, but we just go fast and don't use them. In Ohio, they just sort of piddle along, wander all. I mean, irritation. It begins there when you're irritated, when it begins to get your goat and begin to change your mind, and you're the light turns green, and you're thinking it's not going to get any greener, and you want to hit that horn, or maybe just tap the back of them, right? Not Ohio people, just anybody in general at this point. But then Jesus says, you know what? When you're angry with someone, he says, and then there comes to that place where that simmering anger. And what's interesting, that word raka, it's in your Bible. It's one of those words that every commentator I looked at said, we really aren't sure how to even translate this. But it basically is when you get to that place when you're verbally lashing out. Where the intent is malicious abuse or slander. In fact, the word they use when you get to the place when you're looking at someone and you look at them and say you're an idiot. And what struck me is that's just sort of the way we do business in our nation, isn't it? When we look at a person and say they're stupid or they're an idiot or worthless. It literally means when our anger gets to the place when we begin to have contempt for that person. And I thought one of the things that struck me as I was going through these three stages of anger is, I think as a nation, we're on that level all the time. And I run into so many men, even followers of Christ, that are angry and upset and frustrated. And it takes about 3 seconds for anger to rise to the surface. And I think we've all been there. And Jesus says, if you're that type, if you're angry, just irritated in general, and then it goes a little bit farther, it simmers, and it's under the surface continually, and it takes about 5 seconds to get up and going if you're insulted or cut off or someone gets in your way. And then Jesus says it even goes farther than that. And again, this is something that is so common within our culture, I don't even think we see it any longer. It says, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Isn't that just amazing? Isn't that just crazy that when Jesus looks at our attitudes and looks at our hearts and what comes out of our mouths, you know, we're thinking that you know, it needs to be super verbally abusive, or you need to beat someone up before you cross that line. And Jesus says, No, for my people who know me, anger is a serious issue that needs to be dealt with. In fact, if you look in verse 23, it says, therefore, if you are angry, if you're in any of those places today when you come to church, literally in his day, it would have been going to the temple and you would have had an offering to cover up or to take care of your sin. If you're standing there with your sheep or your goat or your two little doves that you were offering to God asking forgiveness, and you know someone is upset with you, he says, stop. Put down your gift. Go in and deal with that circumstance to the best of your ability. Literally, he's saying, if there is anger within your heart and you know someone is angry with you, it puts up a wall between you and that person. It literally puts up a wall between you and God. And yet so many of us, if we're honest, we rarely look at anger as an issue. In fact, a lot of us who are married just sort of assume that getting angry with our spouse is how things work, and being angry with our kids is just a normal step of events. If they push your buttons, if they tweak you, if they continue to disobey you or don't respond the way you want them to respond, then it's okay to get angry with them. It's just normal. And most of us, if we're honest, if we look through those first couple of verses, we look at that and say, I'm not even sure, what is Jesus thinking here? Being angry isn't a sin. I mean, it says in Scripture, well, you know, get angry, but don't let it lead to sin. And most of us have this idea that we can justify our anger because of what the person did or the words that they said or the attitudes they came at us with. Jesus seems to be changing that. I think partly because when we think of righteous anger, all of us, have any of you been unrighteously angry this week? See, all of us can come up with a reason why we should be angry. But Jesus begins to speak to our hearts. Jesus says, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, those are literally sinful. In fact, if you're not sure about that today, look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through the following. And he basically, this is the sinful acts. This is the sinful nature. And he literally says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of the things that strikes me as I look through that list this last week is I thought, you know what? Some of those are pretty big deals. You know, the idolatry, the witchcraft, the orgies, the drunkenness, all of that. But do you realize all the other things that are sort of wedged in between their hatred? Discord is a way of life for some of us. Jealousy, fits of rage. I mean, that would probably describe a lot of our anger. We're there and we're okay, and just 4 or 5 seconds later, we are furious. Selfish ambition. I mean, that's literally talking about what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, you've heard it said of people long ago, as long as you don't kill that idiot you're dealing with, you're in the okay. But Jesus says, if you're angry with someone, let's deal with it. And so today, for the next few moments, I want to ask you to deal with scripture, or deal with sin scripturally. And one of the things that just strikes me is, and God's been speaking to me this over and over again, is that for some of us, as we hear the next two steps about how to deal with anger, for a lot of us, we just don't think it's deep enough. In fact, one of the things that strikes me, if you've been reading that book, and I am ordering more of them, you know, Pray More, Worry Less, one of my greatest fears is that as you begin to read that book, you will get about midway through and just go, this is just way too simple. My life is way too complicated. And I think we do that often with the Word of God. God. Jesus is now speaking to us, and he says, if you have an issue with anger, before you even go to worship, stop and deal with it. And he literally says, and these are the acts, and we just read over them, but for some of us sitting here today, we have made anger so complex. I mean, this next week, what are we celebrating? It's not a religious holiday, but it has to do with green stuff. Huh? St. Patrick's Day, amazing guy, but you know what? You're going to see shirts that say, kiss me if I'm Irish. How many of you have ever heard Irish people are angry people? And that's why they're angry. Or German. I'm German, and my whole life I've been told Germans are excellent. I'm not sure why at organization, because I'm not really good at that. But anger, that we are just those types of people. And we've made anger, it's a genetic issue. Or I've heard people say, well, my family, my dad was angry. My dad was abusive. My mom neglected me. And those are issues. But we have gotten to the place where we make everything really, really, really complex. And I think Jesus is saying, you know what? It doesn't need to be this hard. The first step in dealing with anger biblically, and again, this is where you need to make some choices. You need to just simply accept and acknowledge and recognize that anger is a sin. And Jesus says, if you're going to deal with anger biblically, the way in order to get healing begins with recognizing what it truly is. Anger is a sin. It's not because your dad was mad at you. It's not because your wife doesn't fulfill your dreams. It's not because you don't have enough money to take care of things. It's not that your kids are behaving bad. Don't make this really, really hard. Don't make it really, really complex. Don't figure out ways to justify that behavior. And one of the things you need to recognize here also is anger is a spiritual issue, and we keep trying to solve it with unspiritual ways. I mean, I was told when I was a kid, and a lot of times, you know, if you're angry, you need to step back and count to 10. How many of you have ever heard that, Tuff? Problem is, I can get to 1,000 and I'm still ticked off. I mean, just think about that. There's all sorts of rules and regulations, you know, don't put yourself in a place where you can be angry. Well, that's really hard because that's just a normal part of life, isn't it? But what if we just came before God and said, you know what, Father, you say anger is a sin, so I acknowledge to you right now that I'm in the midst of sin. I mean, it takes about 5 seconds to go from zero to angry, right? What if at the moment, and all of us know when it's happening, you don't simply just run into being angry. There are times, there have been days when I've woken up and just said, I'm angry today. Just to let you know, that's sort of like, that's a bypass now. It's absolved. No. What if you just said, Father, in this moment, at this time, I'm angry and I recognize it's a sin. I mean, just you start there. That's that first step. This is sin. No excuses. It just is. But see, Jesus knew something that I think you and I don't know or remember anymore. Do you realize that it is awesome and amazing and crazy good news when you can get to that place where you can just acknowledge and admit right and directly, even speaking it out loud, I am angry right now and this is a sin. Father, I confess it to you. Because there's a divine solution for sin. God says, I will help you deal with spiritual issues like sin. In fact, if you look at the Word of God, it's one of his specialties. He loves to deal with sin when people honestly bring it before him. Scripture says this, Matthew 1:21, Jesus will save his people from their sins. Just imagine that. So when you come before him in that first step, honestly confessing and acknowledging this is sin, this is wrong, this anger is not glorifying to you, Jesus says, finally, I can deal with this now. I mean, just think for a few moments how life-changing that may be and how simple and effective it could be. Maybe you need to go a little bit farther and ask yourself if you know who Jesus is, because in order for Jesus to deal with that, you have to have a relationship. So I would ask you this morning, have you asked Christ into your life at this very moment? Do you know that you're a saved follower of his, his sons and daughters? It begins with that simple acknowledgement, Father, I need a Savior. I can't do it. Will you come in and be the leader of my life? Forgive me for the sin that I have done. I mean, are you at the place where you know you need some help with this? I think for some of us, especially for men, anger can be such a part of our lives. We don't even know how to function apart from it. It's just one of those things that seems as if it's just who we are. And Jesus says, no, it's not who you are. It's a sin issue that needs to be dealt with, but I am the one who offers the solution. In fact, I believe only God can help you stop, because anger is a spiritual issue and needs to be cured in a spiritual way. So that first step, simply confess it as sin. Lord, I confess this anger is sin. Forgive me and cleanse me. And the scripture says, and you can look it up, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you're angry and you're ticked off or you know what's coming, if you immediately respond by acknowledging before God, this is wrong and this is sin and I confess it before you, Lord, it says here that God steps in and forgives us. And he goes farther than that. He not only forgives us, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He literally says, that is now broken and bound. You no longer have to live in the midst of it. But then it can go a little bit farther than that, because if you're still in Galatians, and I would challenge you to look it up this afternoon, Galatians 5, after it talks about all of the sinful natures and the things that are obvious, God says, but... He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, what does it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us also step with the Spirit. Let us keep step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. Do you literally know and recognize you come before God? That first step is to acknowledge it and confess it before him and ask for cleansing and forgiveness. The second step when you're dealing with anger is simply saying, Father, you have forgiven me, you have cleansed me, and I ask you now, Father, will you empower me to walk with God with the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. Two steps I believe will change and transform us if we will allow God to work in such an easy and amazing way. What if you began to take those two steps with you each and every day, and I can commit and confess to you that there are going to be some hard days. See, I think sometimes we get this idea that, okay, I heard the pastor, he said when I'm angry, I need to confess it, I've confessed it, and I've done that second step, I've asked God to empower me to live out the fruit of the Spirit, and I've done that, and it doesn't seem as if it's working. Well, you know what, you don't stop there. There are going to be days, and for some of us and for some of you sitting there right now, you are going to go through this process 10 or 15 or 25 times in a day. Because it has become such an ingrained habit within you, it's your default setting, that in the midst of every situation that you face, when it's difficult, when it's hard, when it's upsetting, your first response is anger. And God is saying, no, there's another way to respond here. If you will follow these two steps, first confess it and acknowledge it before God, and then ask Him to empower you to move forward, it will become less and less and less of an issue. It's a promise in Scripture. So I want to ask you this week, can you catch anger at its earliest point? And every one of us here recognizes when we begin to get angry. And unless you're being dishonest with yourself. What if you realized that you had sinned and you take it to God right away? You don't wait. You don't go, okay, I'm going to take care of this later. No, in the midst of that, as that anger builds up, you begin to take it simply before the God right away. Lord, I confess this is sin to you. Now will you forgive me and cleanse me and empower me to live out the fruit of the Spirit? Just begin there. See, I think we make things so complex. Try these two steps. One of the things that Jesus has been speaking to me about in my own life is to simply come before Him and simply do things Jesus' way. I mean, think for a few moments, just to do things Jesus' way. He says, this is how I want my children to deal with anger and upsetness. What if we simply became those people that said, you know what, yep, I'm going to do that. I mean, Scripture says literally what? Become like a child. How many of you are childlike in your faith with God? Or do you make it so complex that it's almost impossible for you to follow through on anything because life is complex and everything is complex? No, it really isn't that complicated sometimes. What if you just decided to deal with it the way Jesus told you to deal with it? What if you began to recognize that sort of like He's the creator and the designer. He knows how things work. See, I think so often we try to handle spiritual problems with unspiritual solutions. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I don't want you to spend your life counting to 10. And I don't want you to spend your life not being around difficult people, because that's really, really impossible. And I don't want you to live your life looking back at what your parents or your father or your teachers had done to you. I have come to give you life and to set you free. So why not handle a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution? And He's literally saying, you have two choices. You can be like those early religious leaders of the day in verse 21, you have heard it said to people long ago. You can keep doing what you're doing. Or you can get to verse 22 and hear His words. But I tell you a different way to dealing with the anger that so captures us before you commit that murder. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? Your designer and creator and King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or are you going to just continue the way you've been going? See, some of you can sit here today and say, you know what? I am self-righteous. I have not killed anybody. I haven't crossed that line yet. Or others of us can be honest and say, you know what? I've crossed it because I've been angry and upset and contemptible toward other people. And God is saying that's a huge issue. He even says if you're in the midst of worship to stop and go to your brother and make it right. Do the best that you can within your power to make it right and then come back and offer your worship to me. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we confess. I confess, I acknowledge to you today that we as a people have our nation is angry, our politicians are angry, we're frustrated, and I am dumbfounded that you say calling someone a fool is a spiritual issue when we call people a whole lot more than that, just out of habit, and don't even recognize it. Father, I ask right now that you would begin to give us the ability to honestly assess whether we're angry people. Would you give us the courage to right now go through our mental relationships, be it at home or at work or even within the body of Christ, how often people get offended and angry and leave instead of doing what you've said to do. That when we're angry, we stop and confess it as sin. We don't blame it on our spouse or our kids or our past. We just acknowledge that this is a sin issue, and the only way sin issues are resolved is spiritually. And you say, if we'll confess it, you'll forgive us. And then you said, since we've been cleansed and forgiven and made whole, you can empower us to live out the fruit of the Spirit, which is just the opposite of anger. And I know there's some of us right now saying, this is not deep enough. It's not complex enough. It needs to be stronger or more powerful. And you're saying, no, it really doesn't. Father, would you give us the courage this week to make these two steps the first and foremost habit in our lives? And as we begin to see this anger leave us, that we would be the people you've called us to be. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' most mighty name, amen.